Look where we find ourselves at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. It's the midday show, and welcome to the program today. So I've had a crush on a song for a little while here, and the song happened to be Labyrinth. I loved it, and I liked it a lot. And I had no idea. I didn't put the two things together when Erica told me that Annie Hamilton was coming in. That is the singer of the song that I've had the crush on. I absolutely love it. She's not going to be doing that for us right now. Three songs from this magnificent artist visiting us from Australia. We caught her on this. We got lucky to catch her on the Southern California leg of the tour. The first song out of the gate is going to be Panic. So do me a favor, if you will, Laguna Beach, please welcome the talented, very talented Annie Hamilton.
To be here at KXFM. I'm from Sydney, Australia. So very far away, but I am in LA at the moment, absolutely loving it. And yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to be here playing these songs. And KXFM have been so supportive of my music and my album. So I'm really very appreciative. And yeah, I'm going to play a couple of songs for you. I released my debut album in May of this year, and it's called The Future Is Here, But It Feels Kind of Like the Past. And this song is my favourite song on the album, I think. It's the closing track, and it's called Whirlwind. With a full band, and if you listen to my album, you'll notice that it's much more produced than this, and there's a lot of kind of more electronic sounds and I guess like rocky sounds, but it's so nice to play the song solo, just me and my guitar, because that's generally how I write the songs. And I always love going back and kind of like reimagining the songs as their stripped back versions and getting to the heart of the songs. So yeah, I hope you're enjoying hearing them in their very bare form. And if you want to hear them in their much more produced form, you know where to go. All right, I'm going to play one more song. I was trying to figure out what song to play next, and I thought, while I'm here, I have to play this. It's called Californian Car Park Concrete. You know, it's the only song I have about about California, so I can't not play it while we're here. So yeah, this song was on my EP, which I released in 2020. And my name's Annie Hamilton. This is a song about concrete.
Just like that.
is magic. I'm telling you right now, we were just part of something really, really cool here in the studio. Annie Hamilton, and my goodness, it's better. I love when something is way better than you expect it to be and as great as we expected. That was really cool. She's coming in for a conversation less than 2 minutes away. 10:51, 9 minutes shy of 11 o'clock, and welcome to the Midday Show. And see how the magic happens? The Mornings with Ed show turns into the Midday Show, and I bring the magic with me, Annie Hamilton. When I tell you, and I don't want to just be gushing all over you for no reason, but that was reason to gush right there. Magnificent live performance. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Ed. Thanks for having me.
This was great. And what I like, first of all, is that during the setup, during the warm-up, as you're in there, and you're working the guitar a little bit, you're working your vocals, you got your hot tea going, and, you know, it's the warm-up for it. That was amazing. Just the warm-up was amazing. And I was texting people. I'm like, okay, this is going to be good. You need to tune in.
The problem is, though, that often the little warm-up and the sound check is better than the actual performance because then the nerves kick in.
That was not the case today. That was not at all the case today. So we were fortunate enough to catch you here on your swing through Southern California, originally from Australia.
Yep.
Tell us about life in Australia real fast.
I mean, life in Australia is pretty good. Right. I mean, I live in Sydney, pretty close to the beach.
Okay.
I actually just moved to the beach.
Oh, fantastic.
So, I mean, straight after here, we're going to go down to have a swim in Laguna.
Yes,
please. I'm very excited about because I have been missing the beach.
Yes, we're literally steps away from Pearl Street, which is one of the greater beaches here. We brag about it all the time. Do you do water sports? Are you a surfer?
I mean, I could try and claim that I'm a surfer, but not really. I'll surf once or twice a year with friends on very small waves.
Okay.
But I mean, it's very fun. I'm just not very good at it, but I just love swimming. I'll jump in the water at home every day without fail, like middle of winter. I'll jump in freezing cold water.
You and me, problem. Same page right there. I go for a swim and it doesn't matter if it's cold or not. It's the ocean.
Yeah,
I need to be there.
I need to be in the ocean. I just had a month in the UK and Europe playing a few shows. And the thing I couldn't get my head around, I was like, but where do you swim here?
Right.
There's no ocean.
Right. I'm not a public swimming pool kind of guy.
Yeah, neither.
Gotta have an ocean.
I need the ocean.
Yeah.
There's something I think about seeing the wide expanse and the horizon that just makes me feel good. You know? There's something about seeing that very big wide open space that, right, I think is really important.
I dig that. I'm so glad you feel that way. So the album that broke in May, The Future Is Here, But It Kind of Feels Like the Past.
Yeah. It's a mouthful.
No, it's all right. I should have gotten it right the first. I had it written down, right? I just read it wrong. The titling of the album.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I love long titles. You may note that there's also a song on the album called All the Doors Inside My Home Are Slamming Into One Another.
Yes.
Maybe it's because I am like a lifelong Sufjan Stevens fan.
Okay.
That I just love long, I've always loved long song titles and long album titles. But basically, the album title comes from a lyric in Providence Portal, which is the opening track. And I wanted Providence Portal to really be setting this scene of kind of entering the album. And to me, that song, it's kind of like the way I imagine the album is that you're like driving through this kind of dirt road into like the bush, and it's like dusk maybe or twilight, and there's like bugs flying around and bats, and there's no phone reception because you're kind of in the middle of nowhere. And then you like take a weird wrong turn down a dirt road and end up in this like, you go through this like portal into this parallel universe. And that's kind of where the album takes place. And it's like kind of this dream world, and there's like some things are real and some things are kind of magic and kind of weird or surreal. And there's all these kind of different elements that, and like recurring imagery throughout the album, like bats and stuff that I didn't like consciously sit down and go, I'm going to write about these symbols, but they just kind of emerged as I was writing the album. I've gone on a massive tangent, but basically
this is perfect. This is what we do.
That's what I kind of like, I imagine as like where the album, the little like, or the universe for the album takes place. And I kind of, because I wrote the album throughout lockdown and throughout the last couple of years of COVID, I think subconsciously I was like conjuring up this dream world as like an escape or as a kind of place I could go because I couldn't leave my house.
Right.
And then in the lockdowns as well, there was all these kind of weird, I kept getting this feeling that like we were promised this like magic sparkly future of like, I don't know, flying cars and like everything's going to be amazing and shiny and perfect. But instead then like COVID happened and we all went back to like baking bread and doing puzzles and writing letters to each other and doing, right. going kind of backwards into these like right. much more human, human things that maybe we had forgotten about or moved on from. Right. So it was like this feeling of, and I've always been really interested in nostalgia and memory and like how your mind can play tricks on you and make you, you know, make you want what you had when maybe at the time it wasn't even that good. Right. So it was like all these kind of swirling feelings that I was trying to encapsulate in the album.
Beautifully described, by the way. And again, stunningly visual description that I got right here. It's stuck in the brain now.
I think I'm a very visual person. Like I do a lot of illustration and design stuff as well. So I always think about like, what's the image? And then I try and make that into song.
So as you're writing, you have a conscious image in your head.
Yeah. Mm. I'm imagining, it's like, I always have the music video in my head, like as I'm writing the song. Or I'm like, this is the scene of the song and you know, this is what it feels like. And it's like hot or it's nighttime or it's, you know, humid or it's, or there's like, you know, I definitely know what, or I try to kind of step into the scene of the song. And then I find that helps me write the song.
Excellent.
And helps me produce the song. Because then, like with Electric Night, for example, when we were producing it, I was like, cool, it needs to feel like there's all these little bugs flying around a lamp. Like little. And so I was describing that to Jake from Methyl Ethyl, who co-produced that song with me. And I was like, so make it sound like there's a billion little bugs flying around a lamp, like in a courtyard on a hot, humid night. And he was like, got it.
And it's, okay. Yeah,
and then
described.
He did all these right. kind of really pulsy little synths that kind of go in and out of time
right.
and give a lot of movement to the song. So, yeah.
So with the songs that you write, and as you think of what the videos for these songs would look like, do you see yourselves just yourself absolutely hands-on on the video and not really turning it over to a director or someone else? It's going to be you?
I've directed a few of my videos and edited a few of them, which are skills that I don't really have, but I've been very DIY. I have a very DIY approach, partly because I have all these ideas and I'm like, it's easier for me to just figure out how to make it myself right. than to try and explain to someone. But I am trying to be like, no, get someone who's an expert in this and like explain the vision and kind of collaborate a bit more.
But you're still going to want full control.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
Well, I think it's like I always have the vision or like at least the setting. Like right. even if I'm like, I don't know how the whole video goes, I know that it's like nighttime and I'm walking down the street and these are the colors and this is kind of the vibe.
Right. You mentioned the lockdown and how we were going back and kind of grasping for things that used to be that, you know, we were comfortable with before that we all of a sudden didn't have. During lockdown, did you find the writing, whether you used it for music or not, whether you used it for songs or not, that your writing was a little darker?
Yeah, I think, it was such a bizarre time and like, you know, some really hard times, but also there was some like silver linings that emerged. Like, I guess everyone had a very different experience and probably in Australia we had a different experience to over here. But I did find that, I guess it also gave, well, also I had a lot of touring lined up that all got cancelled.
Right.
And so all of a sudden I had all this time. And I'm not used to having that much time. I'm used to being really busy. And then I was like, oh no.
Too much time can be dangerous
sometimes.
Too much time.
But the way I dealt with it was like, I'm just going to have a really structured routine where like 9 to 5, I sit at a desk with my guitar and my laptop and I write songs. So I just treated it like a day job. And then it kind of meant that, you know, at 5 p.m. I could be like, all right, I'm clocking off. I'm out. I'm done. I'm out here. But I think... Yeah, it definitely, I think now looking back and in comparison to the music that I'm writing now, it feels like a more introverted album, which to me feels like the perfect scenario to listen to is like on a long drive or like in headphones on a walk through like, you know, the woods at sunset, or like it's quite, it to me is like quite kind of introverted.
Right.
Whereas I feel like now maybe I've, as a result of that, the stuff I'm writing now, I'm like, I want to write songs for like dancing with a group of friends on the kitchen table at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I get it. I absolutely get it. The first song you did in our studio was called Panic.
Yeah.
Tell me about that song.
That song, that's an interesting one. I started writing it years ago and I actually wrote the, so I was in Iceland doing a residency and I had 2 months living in Iceland in this tiny town in the middle of nowhere. And I just had an apartment with a piano and I took my recording gear and it was magical. And I was basically working on songs and designing a line for my fashion label. And I wrote the first kind of verse or the first kind of like first little few lines of that song and then thought, nah, this sucks. luckily I recorded it because I tend to kind of record everything.
Okay.
But as I was writing, I was like, oh, it's a bit of an idea, but like nothing in it. And I just forgot about it. And then probably 2 years later, I was on a plane and I had started going through all my old voice memos on planes because I was like, this is a good way to kill the time.
Right.
But also like you never know what you're going to find. And I found this voice memo of me in Iceland singing this verse and I was like, this is awesome. I was like, wait a second. And then I like got home that I like rushed home from the airport and went home and finished writing the song. It was like one of those cool things. I guess it's testament to the fact that you should always just like record everything and keep everything, because maybe one day you think something, there's no potential in it, or you think it sounds
right.
Terrible.
Yeah. Or you were just in a crappy mood when you didn't like it.
You were really tired or you were hungry or something.
Right.
And then like, you know, the next day, maybe you've like eaten a really good lunch and then you listen again and you're like, yes, this is awesome. So, I mean, the creative process is so mysterious and unpredictable, but I have kind of learned that the only way to do it is like record everything and try to withhold your judgment, because you can't, like the worst thing when I'm writing is to start writing and then go, oh, this sucks. This
right.
sucks. This isn't cool. People will laugh at you. Like, this is embarrassing. Because then, when that voice comes in, that just turns off whatever creative voice is trying to write the song. Whereas
right.
if you can switch off that voice, so you can just be like, cool, I'll just write something. And then maybe later you decide whether it's good or not.
That is such a healthy thought right there. Yeah, just... Open the faucet and let it pour out. Right.
Just let it happen and turn off the judgment.
Because
that, like, there's a time and a place for the judgment, but it's later.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of judgment, how was the food in Iceland?
It was...
Hard to get used to?
It was a lot of rye bread,
okay.
which is actually amazing. They cook the rye, so they kind of mix up the rye and then they traditionally bury it underground and the hot lava earth cooks the bread.
Whoa.
Which is very okay. cool. So like if you can go somewhere where they do the traditional like hot earth rye bread,
rye
it's
bread.
Amazing. But then they eat a lot of like whale blubber and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think I ate a lot of like seafood soups.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to stay away from whale. You know, the doctor told me, Ed, you know, if you're going to eat anything, stay away from whale, please.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I travel with peanut butter, just in case.
I travel with Vegemite. So
there you go. As you're traveling, and as do you find moments to write that are, like, for instance, today, you're going to be out here at the beach for a little while.
Yeah.
Will that be inspiration for writing? Or no, you're just relaxing while you're out at the beach? Or are there places you like to write?
I try to be, like, writing words every day.
Okay.
Like, I carry around a journal. I've got it in my bag here. And I try to, even if it's, like, I try to do half an hour a day where maybe I like sit, make a coffee and sit down and turn off, put my phone on Do Not Disturb and set a timer for half an hour and I just write. I mean, some days I find I can write for hours and it's really easy, and other days I stare at the page and I'm just like, eh. But I find that it's like, again, turning off the judgment and just writing anything
right.
to keep the, you know, muscles
right.
working. And so I'll just like free write, or I'll journal, or I'll write, you know, maybe I'll write
like a whole lot of, I'll describe like the beach or I'll describe Laguna and I just write stuff. And then when I have time to actually sit with my guitar and like generally if I'm trying to write music, I'll like have my laptop set up, my mic, my headphones, be recording straight into Logic so that I can like actually start recording and demoing everything. When I have time to have all that gear set up and have time, then I'll like then flick through back through my notebooks and maybe there's like one word that jumps out that might spark an idea. Or like, you know, maybe sometimes it's like I'll have a whole poem that I've written, or other times it's like an image of like something that then kind of inspires a song.
And your, by the way, your skills on guitar are amazing. I absolutely love your skills on guitar, but my favorite instrument is that voice.
Oh.
the confidence that it takes to sing, first of all, is amazing, and to sing well like you do is incredible. When did that confidence happen? When was the first time you went, yeah, I can sing in front of a crowd?
It actually was really late. I was always really shy and I never used to sing. I played guitar basically since I was about 10, but I was terrified. I would only ever play in my bedroom. I wouldn't even let my family listen. I didn't have any friends who played music, so I desperately wanted to be in a band, but I was like, it's never going to happen. I don't know anyone who plays music. And I just played in my bedroom for my whole teenage years. I think I did. I ended up doing it as like my for school in like the last year of school, and had to do a performance in front of my class. And I think I made a mistake and cried. I was so, so like terrified and nervous, and I had such bad stage fright. And then I was in a band with. I then kind of after school met some other friends who were playing music, and we started a band called Little May. And so I was in Little May for a few years. I played lead guitar in Little May, but I sung a few harmonies, but I was really self-conscious and I didn't think I could sing. And so I would kind of stand, you know, a meter away from the mic and whisper. And then when I left Little May and started working on solo music, I was like, I have this like need to work on my own music, but I was still like, oh, but unfortunately I can't sing. So I'm just going to have to write all these songs and then maybe I'll find another singer who wants to sing them. And then through the process of just writing heaps and recording demos and experimenting with my voice, I got a lot better at singing just from practice and from experimentation. But also then I was like, oh, I can sing.
Right.
This is fine. And now I don't care at all. Now I'm like, give me a microphone. I'm doing karaoke. Like now I just also don't care that much. Whereas I think I used to really care. I used to be so caught up in like, it has to be perfect or it's just like so shameful.
Right.
And now I just don't care.
There's a freedom. There's a freedom that comes with not caring.
Yeah. And then same with playing guitar. Like even today in Panic, like one of the first few chords, I played the wrong chord, but I was like, whatever. Because, and I think I've learned that from doing my own music, and I've realized that like the worst thing that's going to happen if I make a mistake is that I make a mistake and who cares?
Right.
Whereas I get nervous if I'm playing, I play guitar for a few other bands, and if I'm playing for someone else's band and I make a mistake, then I feel bad. But if it's my own band, I don't care.
Right. I thank you for letting go. I really appreciate that.
And maybe too much. Maybe I need to care a little bit more.
It makes all the difference. So the second song you performed quite literally had us with chills. I felt chills going up and down my arm, and it wasn't the thousand little bugs around your light or anything. It was actual chills. The song was Whirlwind. Tell me about that song, and specifically, was there a reason you placed it last on the album?
Yeah, that always felt like a magic song.
It is.
I think it's one of the last songs I wrote for the album before. Well, actually, the song as it is on the album is my demo, and it has all my demo vocals from when I was writing it. And I think you can hear, I mean, there's a lot of layers of vocals and they're very kind of breathy. I wanted it to sound like ghosts, and I wanted it to sound like the whole song was being picked up in a whirlwind and kind of drifting away.
Achievement. That's it. You've done it.
But it's one of those songs that just like, I don't know where it came from. Like I sat down and I sung it. Like it just appeared. And like that happens rarely, but when it happens, it's the best feeling in the entire world. It's like, that's why I do music, so that every once in a few years I can sit down and that happens.
It truly is capturing lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
That's what you did with that song.
Yeah. And so I just wrote it one night, and as I was writing it, I just was recording as I was going, and I recorded the demo, and it has kind of all these vocals that are all going in and out of time, but I was just like, they're perfect. And then, and I recorded all the guitars, and then we took it into the studio, and I got some friends to add violin and cello. And then we did another layer of vocals where in the studio where we recorded, there was a kind of concrete stairwell that went up 3 levels. And so it was like a very reverby, echoey concrete stairwell. And we put a microphone at the very top of the stairs, and I stood at the very bottom and I just screamed up the stairs.
That is so cool.
And we recorded at midnight, and we were the only ones left in the studio, and it was just me standing at the very bottom, just screaming as loud as I could. And it's like you can hear, it gives it this depth. Like it's just one of the many vocal layers, but you can kind of hear this very far back. Sounds like you're in a cave.
It's magic. It really is magic. Can I, and when we talk about stripping a song down, can I spill the beans on Labyrinth?
Yeah.
That I told you about earlier.
Yeah.
So Labyrinth, which is kind of electric, kind of beaty.
Yeah.
You're going to strip Labyrinth down.
Yeah. I'm recording a stripped back version of Labyrinth.
Okay.
Which I'm going to record it in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So it'll definitely be out in the next couple of months.
All right.
But I really wanted to strip back that song because it is the most produced song on the album, the most electronic.
Right.
And it has like the kind of the most like dark electronic drum machines and stuff.
Right.
And I produced that one entirely on my own, which I was really proud of because I'm like teaching myself production and like I love it, but I still have so much to learn. So that kind of was a bit of a breakthrough for me in terms of my production skills when I like made that song. But it also had, I actually recorded a stripped back version of it on my TikTok, and it's like me with an acoustic guitar, but on TikTok, how you can duet videos and then like add harmonies. I kind of duetted it like 10 times and just added all these layers and layers of harmonies. And then I was like, this song, it works so well as a quite a like dark, haunting, sad acoustic song.
I mentioned to you when you walked in, I had crushed on the song the way it was. And now I cannot wait to hear the stripped back version. Would the video be different?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do have a visualizer for Labyrinth. Maybe I'll have to record a video.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to make a video.
So once after it's stripped down, that would be a nice, cool, yeah. I'd love to see that video.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Our audience will as well. I'll remind the audience often. So before you first, the last song we heard was California Carve Out Concrete.
Californian Car Park Concrete.
Okay. Was that written before you laid eyes on California? Did you have a different image of California before you got here than
it actually
was? No,
I'd been here before.
Okay.
So I'd been here on tour with Little May, my old band.
Right.
And we'd played in LA a couple of times. Okay. But I hadn't spent that much time here. I'd only ever come for 1 or 2 days, you know, like arrive, play a show, leave. So California is such a place. It's in like every movie and every TV show, and there's so much, it's like in your head, you have so many images of California that actually when you get here, you're like, oh yeah, it is like, I actually wrote that when I was like back in Australia, but I just had this, like these words and these images of like driving along this highway and the concrete. And it was this feeling of, I was written at a time when I felt like I was constantly traveling, like touring a lot, moving a lot, always going somewhere, but not actually getting anywhere.
Right.
And right. I think it was this, I was like, I'm just filling my life with like touring, but not actually like, I don't know. I was like, I'm not moving forwards. I'm not climbing. And so it was this kind of feeling like I'm scared of getting older, and I'm scared of all this time passing by, and I'm just like buzzing around doing all these things, but not actually like getting what is important or something like that.
Right. Which brings me to the point of all of the music I've heard from you, everything that so far that I've heard from you, there's an importance to the music that you write. There's very little fluff. Everything has importance. And I love that. I find that love. I know you want to be, I know you want to write stuff about dancing on a table and stuff. And I think that's cool
that's
too.
That's important as well.
It also, exactly. It's also important in a different way. It really is.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
So, I mean, I have a show in New York next week.
Right.
In the very short term, which I'm very excited about.
First time in New York?
No.
Okay.
I mean, again, I've played shows there with Little May, but this will be my first, this show next week will be my first Annie Hamilton show in America.
Okay.
So that's exciting.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We've got listeners in New York. We've got listeners back east. So where exactly?
Please come.
Yes.
At Mercury Lounge.
Okay.
On September 6th.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Please promise me the next time you're in the neighborhood, you'll drop by and we'll do this again.
Definitely. And I also want to come and play shows here. All I want to do is play shows.
Yes.
So if anyone wants to book me.
Can you travel year round? Do you see yourself being this artist that never stops?
I actually would love that. I mean, this trip I'm on at the moment, I'm going back to Europe and the UK after this. I'm supporting an Australian band called Lime Cordial.
Whom we love here. We got them.
Great.
Yeah.
So I'm supporting Lime Cordial for their European tour in October.
Right.
So that'll be really fun. And then I'm like, cool, who else can I support? Like, who else is touring? What else can I jump on? But I mean, I guess I'll go home for the Australian summer because it's too good to miss. But yeah, I love touring. I love playing live. It's my favorite thing in the world. So in an ideal world, I would definitely tour for at least a few months of every year.
All right. We got to score you some gigs here. Specifically here in town. And as often as you want, that studio is yours. I should just give you a key to the radio station right now.
Amazing.
You can come in whenever you want. Annie Hamilton, the album is The Future Is Here, but it kind of...
It feels kind of
like the past. Delightful conversation and a magnificent performance. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
Annie Hamilton, we'll look forward to next time. It's 11:17.